from this room, all the chaverim that Yaakov mentioned, and Yaakov himself, Yaakov Zoldan, whose dreams and hard work are carrying us mamas all the time. Hashem should give Yaakov and Lani and the whole family simcha nachas and tacha. And all the cholim that need a refuah and a yeshua. So I want to mention David ben Liba, Avshalom Yaakov ben Malka Leia. All those who were mentioned should have refuah shleim soshay chav Yisrael. And all those who are needed the yeshua, whatever the yeshua is, and gashim is and rochni is and eschus of the tzaddik shad. Yeshua the Malam Rata. Yosef, it's already 20 years. That's what the Cheshbon that Yosef made, I'm not sure. But we think it's 20 years together, Sim Shanan. It's already 20 years, and God, you joined us, Baruch Hashem, a couple of years ago. But thank also Avi and Aryeh here. And I always mean it. That I believe I'm on a Shleima, and it should be, we should be Zeicha to all Chagrin next year, it should be together in Shleima. You understand, Chever, that this is not entertainment, this is Yosef's, the music is something different. Something different. And we have to try to connect to this, to the Nagina, because the Nagina fits exactly the two parts of the Tzaddik's life. We were just watching the different parts of the Tzaddik's life. It's 76 years. And one of the sweetest things just happened a few minutes ago is one of the chevra leaned over and whispered to me, Rebbe, you know, you have a lot of enikluch here on both sides of the mechitza, you have a lot of grandchildren. And I'm grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. That's exactly what I was thinking, Mamish, the second that he told that to me, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about how, Baruch Hashem, after all of that, my parents, the in-laws were able to be, Baruch Hashem, after all of that, to bring us into the world and not to have the grandchildren and all of us to be here together. And to try on our level to connect to this astonishing tzaddik. You know, the tzaddik, especially those tzaddikim with tzaddik ha-hadayris, big tzaddikim, even after they leave this world, and in many ways especially after they leave this world, they haven't finished their job. They're still working for us. Ba'avram, Eidenu, Oymed Lefnei Hashem. Ba'avram, Eidenu, Oymed Lefnei Hashem means that you and I believe the Emunah Shleima. That Avraham Avinu, who was so in love with us when he was in this world, so some of you in Shul, you remember last year, I think my grandchildren or somebody played for me this very sweet song, Avram, Are We the Children That You Dreamed Of? I don't remember the name of the group, but they're singing. I think they were Lubavitcher fellows. I don't remember, huh? By night, it was really by the ninth day, by now. Last year was the eighth day, okay, the eighth day. Avram, Are We the Children That You Dreamed Of? Are We the Children That You Dreamed Of? Are we the shining stars you saw at night? Are we the shining stars you saw at night? So our fathers, our Avraham Avinu looks at us that way. There's no question, the answer to that is yes, 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 a million times yes. We're the children that he dreamed of, even though we look a little bit different and each one of us, you know, we're going through all kinds of stuff, but we're the children that he dreamed of. And we're still shining. The stars are still shining. Even though to us the stars seem so often to be very tarnished, over the years, but the stars are shining so bright. Look at ourselves, we're here now. So Avram is Oydeno Armeid Lefne Hashem. Chazal tell us that just as he loved us in this world, his children, Oydeno Armeid Lefne Hashem, that Avram Avinu stands before Hashem, begging and crying and pleading, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for each and every one of us, Oydeno Armeid Lefne Hashem. So the Zohar Kodesh says such a thing that Shtakach, Bakulu Alman, Yosem, Bechayoi, that after the Tzaddik leaves this world, after the Tzaddik dies and leaves this world, the Shtakach, Bakulu Alman, the Tzaddik's presence is more. He's free from the guf, and therefore he's able to be Bakulu Alman. He's able to be in all worlds, more than he was during this life when he was limited to the body that he was in. So I want to tell you something really very, very remarkable. You know, when Yonasan ben Shaul, when he ate from the honey, when he tasted the honey, he wasn't supposed to, but what he did. So it says about Ta'orna Einov, that his eyes lit up. And Hashem has given us the privilege to be able to taste of the dvash, the honey, of this tzaddik. Rabbeinu Kolonimus Kalman and Rabbeinu Elimelech, Shchus Yergen Elenu Hashem Kamdom. And the Ta'arna Einov, that when he ate of the Gash, his eyes were lit up, he looked at the world in a different way. And back years ago, actually my wife found in an old box, and she was looking for pictures of her mother who passed away recently. She found an old box with some scribblings of when I was writing down the possibility of different names for the shul, which I mentioned once, but I didn't know what happened to the paper. She found the paper, and there were different names that I was considering. I'm not going to tell you, they're interesting names. All kinds of interesting names. But then there was Eish Kodesh, Eish Kodesh, Eish Kodesh, all over Eish Kodesh. Ever since I began to learn that Sefer, Eish Kodesh, and then Chavos Talmidim, and the Hamelach, and Machshav HaTayv, Machshav Zavreichem, all the Tzaddik's writings. I told her that my eyes could no longer look at the world the same way. I was no longer able to see things the same way that I did before. Those of you who learn this from know what I'm talking about. So there's an amazing thing. When we first had the Hilula, the first Hilula was maybe 26 years ago, 27 years ago. There were very, very few people outside, some Polish Hasidim, who Bechlal heard, or some professors, who Bechlal heard of the Eish Kodesh. The vast majority of those Jews were wiped out, were killed. His Talmidim. See them. Very few people heard of Eish Kodesh. Now there are shuls in different places in the world. There's the yeshiva. There are yeshivas. One of the chevra who's here right now really sent me a picture that there are of events that are going on in Eretz Yisrael. All over Eretz Yisrael there are events. Different events that are taking place. Hilulas, Shabbos. His Sforma being learned everywhere, translated being learned everywhere. Recently there was a beautiful new edition of Eish Kodesh that was published by Rav Danny Reiser, a professor in the Talmud Chacham. I was able to meet with him. He came here before Yantiv, the shul, and we spoke for a while. And he gave me something. We're going to be Zeichem as Hashem is going to come out. I hope maybe over the next year or two, a biography of the Rebbe over 1,000 pages. There are new pictures. You see, there's a group of tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael who are going back and forth from Poland and who are going into every archive, every library, digging everywhere to find I have now at home some pictures that have not yet been published. They're going to be in this book. Pictures of the Rebbe and his family. New material, letters. I have a letter that I told the Chevron Yontif. I have a letter that one of the Chevron gave me as a gift. He bought it in an auction. I keep it inside a glass case, and I have this. It's a postcard. It's completely illegible. I couldn't read it. The Rebbe had a problem with his hand. And it was very hard, but this professor knows how to read. That's all he is doing all day and night. He's reading Rebbe stuff. And he was able to decipher the postcard. It turns out that the Rebbe was writing to somebody who was going to Israel to go see how his brother Shail is. He was nervous. He heard that Shail is not eating well. He wanted him to check up on his brother of Shail. The Admor HaChalutz, the Tzaddik of Shail. And I have this on my drawer, this Tzaddik. But he's right. Part of this work, I have here around 300 pages, no, 250 pages as part of the work that's being done. And to me, the most jarring, the most moving parts of this are the interviews with some of the remaining Chassidim, some of the Jews who saw the Pizetz, and actually Harry Kavitz and I went before Yontif. He was Erev Shabbashut. We went and we saw a Yid who was a great nephew of the Rebbe, right?
Yes.
And he remembered the Rebbe.
A nephew.
And he remembered the Rebbe, and he was there by the Rebbe, and his eyes are shining with a different light. It's a different light. If you ate of that money, we just get it second hand. We get it from the Sefer. Those who mamish took it from the Rebbe's mouth, and the Rebbe's hand, it's a different light. So there are interviews. Some of those who were interviewed are no longer alive. These are obviously all very elderly people. I would want to spend the next 20, 30 hours going over them with you. I was already warned in advance by my very close to the staff. That's a cold one for my wife. And she tried to be makasa more than usual. And I told her I'm going to pleasantly surprise her. So I'll try. What was it like when you saw the Rebbe? Let me just read you a few sentences, and then I feel I'm going to be with Pat. So I'll share with you a little bit of a story. This is hard for me to talk for Chlal. For two reasons. One, I lost my voice center, but the second is every time I see that little film, it's hard for me, knocks me out for a couple hours. So one of these Jews, his name's Reb Chaim Kahn. I hope he's alive. I don't know. It's a few years ago. I don't know. So they were asking this Reb Chaim, who was one of the Hasidim of the Rebbe. They were asking him, what did the Rebbe look like? How did he appear to you? He says, Kein achazus ma shani zocher. The appearance of the Rebbe, I remember. But I remember. The Rebbe, hois achazus mi shiroz ha-Rebbe, she nichnas the Beis HaMedrash. He says, I'll tell you this. Whoever saw the Rebbe when he came into the Beis HaMedrash, ha-yish gavoa, the Rebbe was a tall man. And had responded. With beautiful had responded. Had a face that was shining like an angel. He had eyes like an eagle. When you were in the Beis HaMedrash and it seemed to you that the Rebbe was looking at you, that your eyes met the Rebbe's eyes, you felt that the Rebbe was looking inside you. And he saw everything that you were. He understood who you were. Madhim. English Madhim, astonished. Amazing. Mashu Madhim. Kol Adam Shinitka Mabashal Arevi, Haydibish Arevi Yodeh HaKolodach. Whoever saw the Rebbe looking at him felt that the Rebbe knew everything about your life. Kshahayayayashev Liyad HaTish, and when the Rebbe sat down by the Tish, by Oymed Divrei Torah, and the Rebbe would say Torah, V'Herim Es HaRosh V'Histakel, and the Rebbe would lift up his head and he would look around the room. Zahayam Madlik Es HaOdam. Zahayam Madlik Es HaOdam, it would ignite the person. When the Rebbe would look, it would set everybody in the room on fire. Zahayam Sochet Oz, it would sweep you away. V'Achakach Hayu Sharmas HaNigunam, and then we would sing, and we would be swept away with the Rebbe's eyes and the Negunim. We experienced a tremendous aliyah. Can't understand how many years ago it was since he saw the Rebbe. Mishahaya b'sviva shal Rebbe garam l'olis alus. Whoever would be in the sviva of the Rebbe, whoever came into contact with the Rebbe, Garam lo lehisalus, it would cause the person to have a hisalus. Garam lo letchusha shalalos lamalu lamalu, it caused the person to want to go higher and higher, to be better. Kalachad hirgi shiyesh lo aliyah, zemash niyachol lesapal ha-Rebbe. That's what I can tell you about the Rebbe, how he looked. Kamuban atishim b'anibunim, he says, Baruch Hashem, he ends and says, Baruch Hashem, Shezachisi. Vashaniyachal alaymus hayom lasata. Baruch Hashem, that I was zeichet to be there and to see him, that I'm still alive to be able to share with you this story. Ulai, he says, perhaps, Ulai b'schus zeh shani mesaper. And this Reb Chaim Kanner says, maybe in the schus that I'm telling about the Rebbe, that I'm talking about him, even though I'm very old, maybe in this chus Hashem is giving me more years to be able to continue to tell the story. Because nothing is left of the Rebbe except the Torah that we learn. And if I could tell you something about how he was, as a living, as a witness, as an eyewitness, it's a very great thing, and that's what I can tell you. So now I want to share with you one remarkable story. It's a story about, instead of giving you a drush, I decided I would do this this year, just to tell you a little bit of the stories that are here that haven't yet really been printed anywhere else. There is a sefer that came out last year called HaChosid HaAchrayim. Are any of you familiar with it? HaChosid HaAchrayim. The Last Chosid, it's called. The author is Rabbi Yisrael Kihan. He's no longer alive. He was nifted. Not so long ago. And he was the one that called the sefer HaChosid HaAchrayim. It's about his life. And he meant HaChosid HaAchron, he meant to speak of himself as the last chosid of the Rebbe from BSS. And much of the sefer is about the Rebbe, as he remembered when he was a young man, and about his experiences during the Milchama, what he went through during the war. He was in many, many camps he went through. All the Madura Gehenna in this Jew Rebbe Yisrael. And he shared a certain thing that happened to him. It's quite remarkable. There are many remarkable things here. This is only a small percentage of what it's going to be when it comes out. We have to try to be mechazik the chevra. They're going to need a lot of money to pay for that. So consider this a fundraiser, the first fundraiser. They didn't ask me, but it needs to be done. It has to get out. There are interviews from people who are 105 years old, 106 years old, who knew the Rebbe as adults. As adults. So this Rebbe Yisrael, listen carefully. It's not long at all. This Rebbe Yisrael was transported from one of the bigger camps to a smaller camp in Poland somewhere. And he was originally assigned, he was thrilled because he was assigned to work in the kitchen. And he was relieved to be indoors as opposed to being in the freezing cold outdoors. But in a very short time, he realized that that was worse than being outside and breathing the air outside. The stench, the smell of rotten food. What do you think the Jews were getting to eat? It wasn't the kitchen where the Germans had their food. He said it was unbearable, and everything that was happening there with the rats and the cockroaches and the filth and the smell and being locked up all day long in this kitchen. But he said that he realized an odd thing, that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they had this inyan that every single pot and pan in the kitchen every day was smeared with oil, shemen, thick oil. And of course his mind began to work that maybe he'll be able to scrape some of this and gather some of this. Sokosof, he said to himself, who would keep a cheshbon of whether there's a little bit more oil in a pan or a little bit less oil? The answer to that question is, who would keep a cheshbon? The Germans would, of course, keep a cheshbon. But if Yisrael thought he was safe doing this. And every day, for the first 2 or 3 days, he had to get some gathered together. He would take some of this oil from different pots and pans when they weren't watching. And he would go and he would put it on the bottom. There were ashes on the bottom underneath the table. There were ashes. And he would put it underneath there with some filth, with some ashes under the table. And he said that it was after 2 or 3 days, he already had a nice oitzer under there, of oil. And he was all excited that he was going to have whatever, shalashudas or something. And he said that he was leaning over to go there. And then there was a guy from the Gestapo that called out to him and said, Jew, you think I don't know what's there? You think I don't know what you're hiding over there? At the Nespolel Shei Shemin Dekalim, you're wondering, you think you're so smart and that the Germans are stupid, that we don't know that you've been gathering together the oil, that you pulled off a little bit of oil. She says, you're wondering, why is it that the kalim have to be smeared with oil? He said, this is part of your job. In order that they not get more rusty. You don't want your friends to eat food that's being prepared, that's cooked in a rusty pan or a rusty pot. Because he didn't have his little meal, and the German grabbed him and they called for some more guards. And the German told him, Yehudim Luchlach, filthy Jew. You're a ganav, you're a thief. And this is your last few moments in this world. And he told the other Germans to gather all the Jews together in the camp, to go outside, and to prepare a noose to hang this Yisrael the ganav. So now listen to what he said in the interview. It's found in that book, Chassid Akron, and in here. Viragoyim Elu. So Rabbi Saul Keen writes in the Sefer, these moments that I was waiting and they were taking me outside, to be hanged. Amur hayisi lizok levakish leschanan al chayim. Amur means it would have been expected that I would be screaming and crying and begging to live. Okay. And that's what I myself would expect from a person who's going to be burned very shortly. The result said that's not what happened. Alicia al Abima, I went on to this stage that they prepared, Abima. And I had a big smile on my face. Atsamti esainai, I closed my eyes. And kulit soifu mitzapa lavra oilamayas. I was smiling and I closed my eyes and I was prepared to go to the world of truth. Higashti bitochen godol ba'atzmi u'b'mesha asisi. I wasn't afraid. I felt confident in how I carried myself these years. Bitochen godol ba'avodas Hashem sheli. You have to read the book. I read the book. How this, you saw what he was doing during those years. So he said, I felt that I did my best to serve Hashem during this time. And I had gaiva gedor lahaisa, believe me. I had very big pride in my heart. Hashem lo fisfasti shum tfila. Atem shomim. Lo fisfasti shum tfila. I didn't miss one davening. Not a shachas, a mincha, mar, or whatever, yom tov, I didn't miss one davening. B'chol hashonam ha-koshos ha-lolo. All of these difficult years, this was towards the end. Al shetomid ha-yisi musari, I always carried myself in a way that was ethical, that was right, with other people, because in those places at that time, many, many people became animals, as you know. V'shadalti lazos ha-yoshav ha-toyv b'nei elukim v'od. Yosemite Kol, however, he says, as I was standing there with the rope around my neck, Yosemite Kol. Miragoyim Eilu, those moments that I was standing there, Sipisi Lemivgashim HaRebbe Shili. I was excited and I was waiting to meet my Rebbe. HaAdmor Peter Mikiz Echna, they had already heard that the Rebbe was killed. He writes of it. Shanafshi Kshur Benafsh. To whom my soul was completely bound. Ko his gagati lin neguna v'amarakshin. I so much missed his beautiful, his songs, amarakshin. It was so moving. You had the neguna from the Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, the Chevedin, and it's yourself putting that together as well. It's going to come together with the Seif. Ko his gagati lin miloisa v'amalachas. I missed his tender words. In the Oid Rega Ka, when he cries out. So Yisrael says, Oid Rega Ka, in another split moment, in an instant, Vanisha, I'm going to be with my Rebbe. Began Eden, Yachad in Mishpachti, with the Rebbe and my family. Shanini Yodeh Ma'ol V'Garolim, I don't know yet exactly what happened to who. V'yachad, he says, together my great Rebbe, Shenisraf Be'esh HaGadol, was burned in the great fire. Pakachti Yaseina, so he says, this is the thought that I had. This is the thought that I had at the moment. And I opened my eyes. V'isi Eskol Shloish Me'os Yehudei HaMachna, I saw all 300 of the Jews, approximately 300 Jews, all the Jews of the camp. Omdim soviv mabitim bi, the Germans, you know, did not allow you to close your eyes. You would be caught, when they would execute another Jew, if you'd be caught closing your eyes, they would kill you. You have to watch. Chiyachti, when I saw the chevra, chiyachti v'otzma gedola. V'otzma gedola. I'm translating it. Chiyachti v'otzma gedola. I smiled. Powerful, big smile. Tremendous strength. I wanted everybody to see. But I'm totally fine. I'm happy with the gezeirah. Shalotip aruchim. I don't want the chaver to get upset. It's the opposite of what the Nazis. I don't want to give the Germans that pleasure. They wanted everybody to stop crying. I wanted to give chizik to everyone. It's the opposite of what the Nazis wanted. I close my eyes again. And I made up my mind I wasn't going to open them. That was it, the last time. And that moment I felt that I was moving, I was going to another world. Chashti mamash, as I read Bishuli. Listen, he said, he isn't talking about his mother and his father. Afterwards he did. He said, but I felt at that moment, chashti mamash, as I read Bishuli, moishitli es yodo, I felt my Rebbe, teishkaidus, if he's asked now, moishitli es yodo, reaching his hand to me, umoivelo esi. And pulling me towards him. La'an, Rebbe. La'an ani holech. Rebbe, where am I going? Karasi, la'avrai, called out to him. Ma'iyah le'an. What's going to be with the Jewish people? Ma'iyah al'am Yisrael. What's going to be with Am Yisrael? Acha Rebbe chiyech, chiyuch menachem. But the Rebbe just smiled, a very comforting smile. Lila Haysi Hagmi Kriga didn't say anything. Hegashti Shani Nimsa Vamokarim by Hazman and Inishalay. I felt that I was in another world, but there was no time. Mokam Ragua Vishalev, a place that's calm, tranquil. So Yisrael says this was my last thought. My Rebbe reaching out. To hold me, to pull me. And he says, then the feta, all of a sudden, Schaik Godel Marusha, his galga the other. I heard a horrible, evil laughter in the air. And the German was screaming out, Yehudi Meshuggah, Yehudi Meshuggah is a Meshuggah Jew. Patachti Esainai, I opened my eyes, or easy Shaimed and Eva Osa Amakim, and my Isa Germani Nazi Rosh. I opened my eyes and I saw the executioner standing next to me. Achzova gedola achzoisi. I was taken by a very big disappointment. Here a second ago I was looking at my Rebbe. And now it was the German again. I was very disappointed. Eifuani, where am I? Lihigati lo olam hamas. I didn't... Rebbe was reaching to me, but I wasn't... I guess he said Moshe, but he didn't hold yet the hand, and I was still in this world. Ani adayin kan liad chayis sa'odam halol. I'm still next to these animals. Tehisi believi. I was in shock. I didn't know what this was. Taridu asai Yehudi ha-Meshuggah hazeh. I heard the Germans say, take down the Meshuggah Jew. Stam, Yehudi Meshuggah. He's Stam, our Meshuggah Jew. And then he screamed out, Chizuk, Kulam La Avayda, Boy from me. Everybody get back to work. Everybody back to work. He said, so I stood there, he took the rope off of my neck. And it finally began, I began to realize that for some reason, they decided not to kill me. I went back to the barracks. I went back to the barracks. It was already night. By the time after work, when we went back, we weren't talking, and I went back to the barracks at night. And the other Jews came next to me, and they were looking at me with great admiration. I don't know what happened. Until one of my friends came to me, and he said, Srolik, how did you have such omets, courage? So I looked at him and said, it's omets lama, I know what you're talking about. Courage for what? And so omets loma said, how did you have the courage to tell the Nazis what you said to them? And he so said to his friend, Eineni yodea ma ata medaber. I don't know what you're talking about. I said something. Ma amar. And he said, my friend saw that I wasn't laughing. I didn't know that I said anything. I was just in that one foot in the other world. I didn't recall saying anything. So the friend says to him, Ati Yisrael, Yisrael, Amarta Shomi Menayim Atzumais. He was standing with your eyes shut. Chiyu Gadol, you had a tremendous smile, Al Panecha. Em Oitzma Gadola, Shaniris Lamerchakim. And we saw that smile from far away. Well, the past, and all of a sudden, Sa'akta, Sa'aka Gadola. And all of a sudden, he started to scream out, and he said, Atam, you, the Rishon, you wicked ones, Dogim L'chaluda Shel Hasir, you're worried about there being some rust on the pots and the pans. Avamayim L'chaluda Shel Aguf HaYehudi, but what about the rust on the Jewish body? And then he said there was silence. And all of a sudden he said, the Germans all began to laugh, but Tzchai Gadol, they were all laughing. And that's when he said, Meshugin a Jew, he's a Meshugin a Jew. And they let you down. V'echlitu l'shachver otcha mechev latliyot. And they let you live. So this is what he told Yisrael. You still following me? You all right? This is what he told Yisrael. Amadati, try to picture this. Amadati mulai. No, it wasn't pushed for a German to let a Jew live, you know? Arab Shabbos, I was by my parents. And my father told me something that I never heard from him before. Because I mentioned an old friend of his. He said, sure, I remember him. We were together, we went someplace, and where we were walking, the Germans were marching us over there, and he said, and there were hands that were reaching up from the ground. The ground was soft, and there were still Jews that were alive in the ground, and they were reaching their hands and holding onto our ankles. Germans usually were very, very efficient. And they like to finish the job. Amarti mulo kulo the hell, and I was shocked after I heard this. The Yechi talking, Shani Tzakti is us. I said that. How is a lawyer Cholia? Can't be. He says, Shema Be'emes, he said, I was wondering, maybe my friends also think that I'm a Yehudi Meshuggah. That I'm Taki Meshuggah Jew. He said, Rak Shuv Achas HaYisagli. I thought about this, what Yisrael says. I thought about this, and I came up with an answer. I tried to understand what happened. Apparently, I did yell this out. But he says that Shuv Alo Siparati Leish, I never told this to anybody. Adishil Fnekamish Shanim Bavidos, a few years ago, Bodhi Shoteach Bifneinach, I was still to my grandson. He had a grandson called by the name of Shachar Ze'ev. And I told him about, he was asking me about my life. And I told him what happened. And I went back to that time, most of my regards, Shamati, Machevel, Atliya, Shaviv, Tzarori, when I had the rope around my neck. The Odi Choleim al Rebbe Hayakar, when I was thinking, dreaming about my dear Rebbe. Umishtoike Klimivka Shakar, the Mari Rabbi Hadno Pibes Etzna. And I was looking to be once again together with my Rebbe. Ein dover shecholti loymer alakshoy shekosher loyim azeh kol kuli ha'isim akusher loyim helion. I was no longer in this world. I was completely bound up with the other world. So it must be, he says, ein achema shemoy v'rabbi ha'admor v'chvoy devahatzmoy. It must be that the Rebbe himself, he that the Rebbe gave me an Eitzah, and that the Rebbe himself called out those words that came out from my throat. And then he said, I'm telling this now to you, to the people who are interviewing him. And I don't know, he says, when he wrote the book, I don't know how these words are going to be understood in the modern world. But I can tell you this one thing in my life that has brought me great joy. That moment when I was able to see my Rebbe reaching out to me to bring me next to him. And that thought I'm walking around with all of these years, and it has given me new strength. Karchas built the regilos for many, many, many years. It gave me karchas. Lo avzim in my mission, nitnu li karchas gam al shnayz eglusi all of these years, even till I'm old. To the last years of my life. There are many, many other stories here. But I want each and every one of you and myself to also close our eyes for a moment and to smile and to know. That HaRebbe Aydenu Oymed Lefnei Hashem. Just as Avraham Avinu is Odenu Oymed Lefnei Hashem, HaAdma HaKadosh, Abenu Kolonimus Kalman, who is called Rav Kalmishel, is Aydenu Oymed Lefnei Hashem. You and I are talking about him and trying to learn his Torah. And in our own small way, trying to have a kesher, his kashas with him, to have a connection to him. But even though, Hashem, we don't have to go through that, it's Oydeno Oymed Lefnei Hashem. You know, just on simple story, we read Zayis HaBrach. And there's one of the hardest psukim of all of Chumash. The pasuk says, Ma'ayna Elokei Kedem. Ma'ona Elokei Kedem means the ancient one, Hashem. Elokei Kedem. Ma'ona Elokei Kedem. But the ancient one dwells in a place, in his place, which we feel is far away from us. Ma'ona Elokei Kedem. He's the ancient one. We haven't seen him. We don't see him, Hashem. And he lives someplace that we feel is far from us. Now hear the words that are so hard. Umitachas zroos olam. Umitachas zroos olam. Now Rashi learned the literal words, umitachas zroos olam, you all know it means that below the world there are arms. Mitachas, underneath the world, underneath zroos olam, there are arms that are holding up the world. Rashi brings from Chazal, the Mitachas Zroi Solom is talking about the Balei Zroi, the Rishoyim in the world, the Germans, Yimach Shema, the Balei Zroi, the Bnei Esav of the world, that there are evil and wicked ones who are called Zroos Olam, the Balei Zroi, children of Esav. And the pasuk ends, Vayigarish Oyev Mipanecha, and the ancient one who dwells above. Vayigarish Oyev Mipanecha, he will drive away the enemy. The Omer, he will say, Hashmeid, destroy the enemy. But ultimately, Hashem will drive away the enemy. The ancient one who dwells above will drive away the Balei Zroi of this world. The Omer, he will say, Hashmeid, destroy all of them. Kill all of them. Take them all out someplace and hang them. Hashmeid. But we have a teaching from Rabbi Nachman. I saw this not in the Ksavim, but there was a Yid that gave me a page. something that was said over by I think it was Rabbi Jacobson from Chabad. I don't remember, but I think so. Who heard it from the person who saw the ma'ase. But in Chassidus we're taught the following. Rabbi Nachman says, listen carefully now. Rabbi Nachman says there are two kinds of Jews. He says there are Jews who are confident, who are secure, who have both feet on the ground, people who are strong and sure of themselves. But Rabbi Nachman said there are many other Jews who are not like that. There are other Jews, because of things that are in their mind or in their heart, because of fears that they have that Hashem doesn't love them, because of the oivim, the enemy, inside and outside. Rabbi Nachman said there are Jews who always feel that they're falling off the planet, that they have no place in this world. They don't have any firm grounding in this world. So Rabbi Nachman said that Hashem is saying to those Jews, Da! Rabbi, you should know. Ma'in elokei kedem, I'm an ancient God. And it seems to you that I'm far away. But I want you to know, Umitachas zroos oil. I want you to know that my arms are below the world. And I want you to know that wherever you fall, and whenever you feel that you're falling, I'm here to catch you. I'm here. I'm reaching out to you to hold you, to help you. Know that below the world there are arms. They're my arms. And Hashem's arms come in the way of a friend, of a parent, of a tzaddik, could come in the way of a therapist. Below the world there are arms, each and every one of us. Umitachas zroos olam. Nechassidus, atzilus, adam kadmain. Arms that come from that world. And then he told a story that he heard from a Jew who was there, that in the year, and I don't remember what year it was, in the 1930s, when the Friedrich Lubavitch Rebbe's Chus Yelena, when the Friedrich Rebbe was in Warsaw, there was Simchas Torah. And I forgot which Chassidus, there was a Chassidus, I think it was from Radomsk, that there was a Radomsk Beis HaMedrash, and they gave the Beis HaMedrash to the Friedrich Lubavitch Rebbe to use for the Chassidim, to be able to use for Simchas Torah. It was a big olam of Chabad Chassidim that came. And it was Simchas Torah, and the Friedrich Rebbe was with the Chassidim. And this Yid, that was one of the people that was there, said that there was unbelievable dancing that was going on, and the whole place was mamish shaking up and down. Like the feeling we used to have when we used to dance in the little house on Notre Road. Remember? Those who were there, remember the crack that was going up the wall? And that's when, remember, at a certain point, Harry said, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of this place. The crack was getting bigger. So in that Radomsky Stiebel over there, in Warsaw, the Friedrich Rebbe was firing up the Chassidim more and more to dance, not to stop, not to stop, not to stop. Now there was one non-Lubavitch in there, he was a Radomsky Chassid, who was in charge of the Beis HaMedrash. So he ran over to the Friedrich Lubavitch Rebbe and says, Rebbe, Chab Meir, Rebbe, I really think the place is going to fall apart, that we're all going to die. The floor's caving in, we're going to die. Please, Rebbe, tell the Chassidim to stop dancing. We can't. I know this building inside out. It cannot take this. And he said that the Fidei Gevurah put his arms on him and said, Yabid, whatever his name was, it says in Pasuk, Moina Lekei Kedem, and Bitachas Raya Silom. There's an ancient God who loves us, and his arms are below the world. I promise you that those arms are going to hold us up. Don't worry. And he said, have you promised? And he said, Rav Jacobs, this could be the biggest miracle of the story, that he wasn't the Lubavitch of Chassid. And he said, Rabbi, he said, listen to me. His arms are below the world. And he said that he did a record over there, the Rebbe, and he joined the dance. He joined the dance. That's the dance that we saw over there. The Rebbe was there at that time when the whole planet was falling apart. There wasn't a Jew who was standing on the planet. Every single one was like a Yisrael that was standing with a noose around his throat and was waiting just for the pull. Everyone. You didn't know from one second to the next. Everyone. And the planet, the world was falling apart. There wasn't going to be anything. And here we are. Yehudim Meshugayim, Meshugayim. And you saw at the end of the clip, the dancing, the singing, to show the contrast between what it looked like was going to be and what is now. And we can take a picture of ourselves here. Also, we're all here, Baruch Hashem. The children, the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Mitachas Royas Olam. So we want to say, Rabbi, the Kolodim is Kalman, and Rabbi Elimelech. On behalf of all of the Jews who are here and everywhere, I want to thank you for reaching out your arms to us these last year before Mashiach comes. Because in a different way, so many of you and myself so often feel like we're falling. We feel like a mamish can't go on. We're falling off the planet. Not because of the Germans. There are many, many other reasons, but we feel like we're falling off the planet. And we know that Hashem has sent you to us. And your smile is getting bigger and bigger and bigger as we get closer to Mashiach. That smile, that comfort that you gave Rabbi Yisrael when the noose was around his neck. And he said those words through Rabbi Yisrael. And through us, he's saying also words of Odena Omer Lefnei Hashem. I'm still standing before Hashem. And don't worry, Hashem's arms are below the world to catch you before. Hashem is much help that we should all be gathered together in Hashem's arms, in this world, and be able to join the Rebbe, all the tzaddikim, and all our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, from all the generations, and to be able to march back, to have a beautiful, delicious suda with kosher oil served up by David Malka Mashiach, the blessing of Amitis and Hemi Amen. Amen.